Okay, so we are on Zion Amud Aleph. We're going to back up a few lines, and we're going to start from the two dots where it starts. The first word in the line, the Amr B'Yochanan Mishum B'Yosi. This is the second of the medium-sized lines on the Amud. Okay, so the Gemara says like this: the Amr B'Yochanan Mishum B'Yosi. B'Yochanan says in the name of B'Yosi, Minayin She'ein Meratzin Lo La'adam B'Shaka. So, how do you know that you shouldn't go over to a person to try and assuage them, try and get them to not be so angry at you? Yes, cheer him, but also then he shouldn't be angry at you. They shouldn't be angry at you while their anger still burns inside of them.
This applies.
Correct. Because it says in the pasuk, "Panayilechu v'hanchilosilach." First, I have to. Marlo Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Hashem says to Moshe, "Hamtein li ad she'avru panim shel za'am." First, wait until I'm no longer angry. When you're no longer the person's burning with anger, that's not the time to try and mend the fences. That's not the right time. First, wait till it passes. Ve'aniach lecha, and then I will give you the opportunity. Then I will give you the chance to make amends. First, you have to let the anger pass. Okay. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Umi ika ritcha kame kucha brichu. Is there ever really anger? Does Hashem have anger? Is that really possible? So the Gemara says, in fact, yes. You know, saying that the Bali Hamusar say that there's a lot of different midos that we have. We have some midos which are good, clearly good, like having compassion and doing chesed and caring and there's good midos, being happy, right? And then there are midos which are, you would think, are not so good. So sometimes jealousy, right? But there are midos which, even if they're sometimes negative, they can come out in a positive way. So jealousy, we talk about kinas sofrim, that people want to be jealous to be a talmid chacham like that person. So you could use it for the positive. But the one midah that they say has no positive characteristics to it. You should not have any of it. It's kaas. So that is anger. So that is what anger really, there's no positive sense of anger. Sometimes some of the negative attributes that we have, we can use them in a positive way. But anger is not one which has a positive side to it, and therefore you should have no anger. So the Gemara is surprised that Hashem should have any anger at all. Okay? It's surprising Hashem should have, because we emulate the ways of Hashem. Okay?
But so, he says that there is.
So now we're going to discuss how can it be? So the Gemara says, Ditanya, we have the following bright which says, V'kel zo'im b'chol yom, and God is angry every day. V'kama za'amo, and how much is his anger? Rega, a moment. V'kama rega, and how much is this moment? How long does it last for? So here's how long it lasts. This is the amount of anger we should have. Echad mi chameshes riboa, one of 50,000, vishmon salafim, and 8,000, so 58,000, ushmona meos, and 800, ushmonim vishmona bisha. So it's 158,888th of an hour. That's the amount of time. What is that? It's a fraction of a second. It's a moment.
Okay.
It's only one moment. That's it. V'zohi rega. And that's a moment. V'ein kol bir yachol l'chavin osasha. And no one, no human being, is able to discern that moment. Because it passes like anything. Chutz mi Bilam Rasha, except for Bilam. Bilam was able to figure out the precise moment which Hashem would be angry. D'chziv bei, because it says regarding Bilam, V'yodea, and he knew, Bilam knew, Das Elyon. He knew the wisdom of Hashem, but it means here that he knew exactly how to figure out when Hashem's mind was angry. And he was going to use that anger opportunity to have Hashem curse the Israel.
Oh.
Now, the Gemara says, wait a second, Bilam is such a wise person. We know, he didn't even understand his own animal. What was the situation? He's riding his donkey, and his donkey doesn't want to continue on the path, right? Because the donkey sees an angel of God in front of him, ready to kill, with all his sword in his hand, ready to kill them, the donkey and Bilam. And he doesn't want to go on the path. And Bilam hits his donkey. He can't even figure out that his own donkey is trying to save him, trying to protect him. Until finally the donkey has to open his mouth and talk to Bilam and give it to him straight. But he couldn't figure it out what his donkey was doing on his own. So he couldn't figure out the logic or the mind of a donkey. So how is he going to figure out the mind of Hashem? Right? Surprising. That's what the Gemara says. Could he possibly know the mind of Hashem? No, rather what it means is he didn't really know Hashem's state of mind, but he knew the moment he figured out the moment that Hashem every day what that moment is. He knew it was that. You look at the clock. He knew where on the clock it was. He knew exactly how to time it. This is what the Navi says to us. Ami, remember what advice Balak gave to Bilam and what Bilam responded. And what is it that you should be so thankful for? That to appreciate that Hashem did tzedaka. He did special righteousness with us. What did he do? Amar of Elazar. Amar lehem akash baruch Yisrael. Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, "Du, you should know, kama tzedakos asisi imachem. What great charity I did with you. Shelo kaasi b'yemei Bilam harasha. That I did not get angry in those days that Bilam was trying to curse you." Meaning there's always a moment in the day. But Hashem says, in those days, I didn't even have a moment. It wasn't even an opportunity. Shilmali ka'asi, because if I would be angry, and Bilam would have cursed Bnei Yisrael at that moment, lo nishar mishonehem shel Yisrael, saridu palit. There would be nothing left. It's a euphemistic way of saying it. Sonehem shel Yisrael means the enemies of Israel. But often when the Gemara refers to something negative, something that would happen bad to Bnei Yisrael, it doesn't want to say it about us. Like we say, there should be no, we shouldn't say something negative about a person. So you want to say it you say it about the enemies of Israel. But it means not the enemies here of Israel. It means Bnei Yisrael themselves. If there would be a moment that Bilam could curse us, then we would be nothing left of Bnei Yisrael. We would have been completely destroyed. So that's why Hashem said, I did a special favor, I did a special charity with you, that I was not angry those days at all. There was no opportunity. Behind me, the Kamerle Bilam Lebalak, and that's why Bilam. Tell me.
It says, the Ilmale Kaasi, if I wouldn't be angry, I would hurt, I would kill all your enemies.
No.
It says, Ilmale Kaasi, lo nishtayer misoneem shel Yisrael saridu palit. That means,
yeah,
that just because that God was really angry, that because of that, he didn't hurt the enemy of Israel a lot. Just a little bit.
No. If I was not angry,
no, but, if I was not angry.
I think here means Ilmal Kaasi, if I was, if it would be that I was angry, Lo Nishtayer Mitzonim Shal Yisrael, Mi Klomar Mi Yisrael, from Yisrael himself, Shir Palit, Shelo Aya Nishar Mehem, Zecher Al Yidei Kilot Bilam. Means Klomar, from Bnei Yisrael, not Klomar Mi Yisrael, it's meant, really referring to Bnei Yisrael. We don't want to say that there would be nothing left of Bnei Yisrael, so instead we say there would be nothing left of Bnei Yisrael. But really we mean, Ilmal Kaasi means if I would have been, not if I would not be.
But that's not the way it's written, but I see what it says here. Yeah. He didn't want to say he would finish Israel.
Yes,
he said,
that's what I'm trying to say. Often the Gemara doesn't want to say negative things that's going to happen about Israel, so it projects it to the enemies. But really, it's referring to Bnei Israel. That's what it's referring to. Okay. So, let me get the place. That's what Bilam said to Balak. Ma'ekov lo kava kel. How can I curse? Because God is not cursing. Umaz ezam. How can I invoke anger? Lo za'am Hashem. Hashem did not become angry. We see from here that during these days where Bilam was trying to curse the Israel, Hashem did not allow even that moment, even that one moment of the day, the fraction of a second, to be angry. Melamed shekol osan hayamim lo za'am. He did not get angry. Vikama za'amo. And again, how much is his anger? Rega. It's just a rega. We say it's a moment. Vikama rega. But now how long is the moment? So we talked about a mathematical description. Now we're going to give a more practical.
Why did I ask it again? Okay.
Because we're going to give a more practical explanation.
Okay.
The kama rega, ama rav avi and vitema rav avina rega kimimre. The amount of time it takes to say the word rega. That's how long. Rega kimimre. The amount of time it takes to say rega. That would be the amount of time Hashem is angry. Uminalan de raga ratach. How do we know that Hashem is angry for just one moment? It's because it says Shenamar, it says in the Apostle, ki rega biapo, right? With a moment, the ap in his anger. Chayim birtano, but life is in his desire. Vibaydim vahacha. Chavi kimat rega ad yavor zam. Wait like a moment until the anger passes. That's what it's saying. Okay. The emad ratach. And when does Hashem get angry? Like, when is that time Hashem gets angry? So Amar Abaye, we're just backing up a little bit. Amar Abaye, Bahanach Tlat Shai Kamaisa, we're getting angry only in the first 3 hours of the day. Ki Chavira Karbalasa de Tarnagola, where the crest, where the feathers, the top of the head of the Tarnagol turned white. Vikai Echad Kara, where it stands on one leg. So there's a moment, almost like where it looks like it becomes entirely white, like it's like when the person like looks like they're dying, they turn white and standing on one leg. That's a moment of the day.
We saw that sentence before.
Last week.
Tarnagolta.
Oh, that was last week. I backed up a little bit.
Weird sentence.
We said last week. So okay, we backed up a little bit. I just want to start from the two dots because the others are starting in the middle of an idea. Koshaita v'shaita nami. So we say, wait a second, there's multiple times during the day that we see that the rooster stands on one foot and has a little bit of whiteness to him. The Gemara says, Kol Shaita Isbe Suruke Sumke. You know, there are times where it turns white, but there's still these red streaks still present. It's not fully white. But Hay Shaita, with that one moment of the day where Hashem gets angry, Leisbe Suruke Sumke, it does not have the white streaks. That's right, the red streaks, it is entirely white. Now, did you do the Tosos? Did you do the Orch Shulchan? Oh, you did all this. Okay, I'm sorry.
We'll probably do it again. They might not remember.
Go right ahead.
Oh, that was okay. You did the highlight.
Yeah.
Tosos says, "What could Bilam possibly say for one moment? Do you remember what this part? I don't know if you remember.
Sure.
What could Bilam say? He could say Kala'im. He could say destroy them. So Tosos says, well, that's one option. The second answer is, as long as you start during the moment, the curse is started at that very moment. Bilam could continue with a longer curse even afterwards. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that this is a halach l'maisa, that if a person finds that the time of the day is very late, so some say you should say a shortened Shemoneh Esrei, because there's only a few moments left in the day, and you don't have a chance to say a regular full Shemoneh Esrei, you should say a bracha kol avineinu, which is a shortened version of Shemoneh Esrei. But the Aruch HaShulchan himself says, I think, my own opinion, that's not correct. That based on this Tosfos, if you see that there's only a few minutes left in the day, or even a moment, a minute, or a few seconds left in the day, as long as you started your regular Shemoneh Esrei, even though you will continue your Shemoneh Esrei after the time has passed, after the sun has set, for example, then it still is considered to be Tefillah Bizmana, because in Tefillah, it's right time, because you started the davening in the right time, even though you've continued your davening after the time has passed. So just like Bilam started the curse when the time was ripe, when Hashem was angry, even though his curse continued with more words, more embellishments, after the time of Hashem's anger has already passed, it's still considered to be the effective curse. He said, okay, that was, we'll listen to the shir from last week for more detail.
Just like we saw Shalosh Sudos, and we can continue it all the way after Motzei Shabbat, even though...
Yes.
Yeah, that's
also because there's
that. When you're talking about a suda, when you talk about the ikker part of the suda is when you wash and start eating. But the chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan, the novel concept, is that even for tefillah, we normally assume tefillah stops at sunset when you can no longer daven anymore. He says it's totally fine. You're allowed to daven even later as long as you start before.
No, it's not limcha. This is the shalosh suda.
No, I'm saying it's different. Tefillah and eating are different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just using the timing issue. And also Minha, it's also the timing is very important. Minha, they said this is the time where God has a good vibe, about us on Minha.
Yes.
No?
Yeah, correct.
The Zohar says that.
We just did that in the Gemara.
I said in the Gemara?
We just did it on Thursday. Eliyahu Anabi was answered at Minha time.
So one opinion is you turn
it's a good time.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, so Hatsuke. So we're now up to, so there was a certain Tzedukim were the ones who would only, they only believed in Torah Shebaal Bechtav, they only believed in the written Torah, and not the Torah Shebaal Peh, not the tradition that was given over orally from Sinai to Moshe by Hashem. So it says, Ahu Tzeduke, Zahavi B'Shevufei Derv Yeshua Ben Levi. There was such an individual who was in the neighborhood of Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. Havi Kamitsar Leituva Bikrai. He was really bothering Rav Yeshua Ben Levi all the time with a discussion, a debate about how to understand psukim. Because remember, a tzeduki only takes the psukim literally, and Rav Yeshua Ben Levi has a tradition of Torah Shabbat Alpeh, where how the rabbis got an oral tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu how to understand psukim. So they were constantly going back and forth and debating the psukim. So Yom Echad, so Rav Yeshua Ben Levi was not happy having this constant debate with this individual.
Yeah.
So Yom Echad Shakol Tar Negolta V'Ukmi Ben Kari De Arsa. He took this. He took a rooster because he wanted to find out the exact moment of Hashem's anger and stuck it by the edge of his bed so he could watch the rooster at all times to wait and see when it's going to turn white, and then he knows he can curse this this Tzuki and Hashem will take care of him. That was his way of dealing with the situation. So Ayimba, and he stared at this rooster. Savar kimata ushaita alaite. When the time comes, I'm going to curse him. So kimata ushaita. When that time did come, when Hashem was angry and the rooster's crest turned fully white, Nayim, he fell asleep.
Who fell asleep?
Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. He missed the time. He was sleeping at that moment. Amar. So when he woke up, he said, "You know something? Shema mina. I learned from here. Lav orach ara lemeavid haki. It's really not appropriate."
Yeah.
That I should have done that. I mean, the fact that Hashem made me fall asleep and I missed the chance, Hashem shows, you know, saying it's not so proper that tzaddik should go ahead and be cursing people to wipe them out. V'rachamav, it says in the pasuk, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. Hashem has pity on all of his creatures, even those that are rishayim. It says, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. V'chsiv, also it says, V'gam enosh tzaddik lo tov. It's not proper that tzaddik should be meeting out punishment. Now, Tosfos does point out that we do find, look, you have a Beis Din, you have very righteous people on the Beis Din who are punishing individuals, and also postulating that people should receive punishments, whether it be Malkos or even Misa. So the answer is that there's a difference between when a tzaddik should, in a Beis Din Shalmata, in a human court, you know, decides, and the paskins in the Beis Din, that a person is deserving of a punishment. That is how the world is supposed to run. But it's not proper that he should daven that the heavenly court to punish someone at this moment, and that is not something that tzaddik should be doing. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tana mishmeid the Rabbi Meir, b'shasha hacham zorachas, chomach, when is it that Hashem is angry? It's a different time. It's the time that the sun rises. The chomach imizrach umarav, and all the kings, the non-Jewish kings of east and west, who are worshipping of Azara, and they're manichim kitrim, v'roshem, they take the crowns of their heads, u'mishtachim lechama, and they bow down to the sun. At that moment, miyad koyes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when Hashem is angry. The moment that all the kings of the world are forsaking the Melech Machem Lachem, the King of Kings, and instead bowing down to the sun. The Gemara continues. The Amr of Yochanan, Mishum of Yossi. Tova mardud achas belibo shel adam. It's better that a person should have a moment of inner awakening in his own heart, realizing what he's doing wrong. Okay? Yoter mikama malkios. Better than what we learned the last time we were learning on Mishmei of Malkos, of getting lashes. Meaning it's a greater effective change in a person to have an internal awakening than to have it external. We know, we can imagine that makes sense, logically. Shenemar, viritfa es me'aveha, that he was chased by his her lovers. The Amra, he was chasing after way of lovers of trying to you know do the right thing, but then he says Vamra, and then Bnei Yisrael basically said Elcha v'Ashuva Elishia Rishon. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to return to my first husband. Meaning I'm going to go back to Hashem, go back to Kosh Baruch Hu, who is our betrothed, our marriages with Hashem. Kitov li az miata, because now is better than it was. Because before, Bnei Yisrael was going after all sorts of other ways of trying to get back to Hashem. And then finally realized internally that was the right thing to do at this moment to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's, again, you see, the stronger movement towards doing tshuva is one that is awakened from within the person than one that comes externally. Reish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says, the greater is an internal awakening, internal move to the tshuva, mimea malchus, from 100 lashes. How we know that? Because it says in the pasuk, shenemar, tachas ge'ara b'mevin, so like equal to the internal, I guess, ge'ara is like when you yell at yourself, when you have an internal like sort of conflict that you say, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing internally. B'mevin, to a person who realizes and understands what they're doing wrong, is great. It's equal to basically miakos ksil mea, from being hit and lashed by ksil. Ksil is a fool 100 times. So better to be internally awakened. What do you mean to hit the pool? Some say, where is the person's knowledge? Where is the person's inspiration and understanding? Bina, it comes from the neshama on the inside. What is the fool? The fool is our body. It's our physical guf. You can hit your physical body 100 times. It would even, they say the kfil is our physical body. And that's
not pishuto. Pishuto shel mishle tachat gara b'mevin.
Yeah, the pishuto is...
get angry a little bit to a wise man, it's better than 100 lashes.
Correct. So we're saying, what we're referring to is yourself, to be yelling at yourself inside yourself. Who's the mevin? The mevin is your own neshama.
Your own neshama.
And then, what is the kfil? The kfil is your guf, because the guf does things that you say, why did you do this?
Uh-huh.
Why did you do this? My body. So that is the, you know, as
that's
equivalent.
The drash of the pasuk.
Correct. It's a drash of the pasuk, 100%. But you see, once again, that is really a greater thing to have an internal inspiration and awakening than is to have some external force come to that to force you to sort of wake you up harder. Okay. Av Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yosi. Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Mifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Nasan Lo. There are three things Hashem asked. From Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu asked from Hashem, and he was granted them. What are the three things? Bikesh Shetisha Shechina Al Yisrael. He asked that Hashem reveal right his Shechina and have it dwell among Bnei Yisrael. V'nasanlo, and it was and that was granted to Moshe. Shenemar says in the pasuk, "V'halo belech tachaymanu," that I'm going to be walking. Hashem's going to be walking with us. Okay. Bikesh Shelo Tisha Shechina Al Ovdi Kochav. Hashem asked that his Shechina, his presence, not dwell among those who serve idols. So that it's and v'nafilo, and it was granted. How we know that? Shenemar, v'niflinu ani v'amecha, that we should be, niflinu means we should be separate, we should be different. Me and my nation should be noticeable, that there's a difference between Bnei Israel and the Umas Olam who serve Avodah Zar, serve idols. Because you can see that Hashem only resides his presence with Bnei Israel and not with the those who worship the idols. Bikesh lahodio derachav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe asked to know the ways in which Hashem judges the world. He wanted to understand Hashem's methodology of how he runs the world and how he decides what should happen. V'nasalon was granted to him. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, v'hodeni nas derachecha. And Hashem, please reveal to me your ways. Amar lefan of Ribon Sholom. Moshe Rabbeinu, what was his request? He was asking Hashem, Mipnei ma yish tzadik v'tov lo. Why is it we sometimes see there's a righteous person and Hashem does good things to them? They're financially successful, they're doing well in life. V'tov lo, v'yish tzadik, and there's a righteous person, v'ra lo, and he has very difficult times, whether it be he suffers from medical issues or he has trouble financially. We see both, some tzadik in one way, some tzadik in another way. And furthermore, yesh rasha v'tov lo, there are times where there's a wicked individual, v'tov lo, and Hashem does nice things for him and benefits him. V'yesh rasha v'ra lo, and then there's a rasha who is, Hashem does bad things to him, and he also suffers in this world. And the question is, I understand, what's the rhyme or reason here? So the Gemara says, Amar lo, it says, Amar lo, Moshe, tzadik, v'tov lo, when is it you have a tzadik and it's good for him? That's tzadik ben tzadik. That's where you have a tzadik, and he's the son of another tzadik. His father is also a tzadik. Tzadik v'ra lo, when you have a tzadik and he is not doing well, that's tzadik ben rasha. That's when his father was a rasha. We assume that means at this moment. We're going to redefine this explanation in a moment. But for the moment, it would seem to mean that if your father, you're a tzaddik, but the father was a rasha, so the son is suffering for the sins of the father. That's what it would seem like. Furthermore, rasha v'tovlo, when you have a rasha, but he's doing good, he's benefiting, he's doing very well, that means it's a rasha ben tzaddik. It's a rasha who's the son of a tzaddik. Again, it would seem from there that he is benefiting. The reason why that wicked person is benefiting in this world is because his father was a tzaddik and he was zechuyos, the merits of his father, who was a tzaddik, is being rewarded given reward to the son, even though he's a rasha. That's the initial explanation, which we're going to, again, about to change. Rasha v'ralo, when there's a rasha and it's bad for him, that's ben rasha. That's when he's the son of a rasha. So Amar Mar. So Mar said the following. Tzaddik v'tovlo, if you have a tzaddik and it's good to him, we just said that means he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. And if it's a tzaddik v'ralo, if it's a tzaddik and bad things are happening to him, that means he's a tzaddik, but he's the son of a rasha.
And okay, we said it already.
So right, so he's about to question. He's going to say, Amy, that can't be. We just, he's quoting what we just said. He's saying, wait a second, Amy, is that really true? That if your father was a rasha and you're a tzaddik, that's why it's going to be bad for this tzaddik in the world? Because presumably he's getting the punishment of his father. V'ha-ketiv, it says, Poked avon avot al zanim. It says that Hashem is going to take the sin and he's going to from the father, and it's going to be enacted on the children. So the children are going to be punished, it seems like, from that pasuk, for the sin of their father. But there's another pasuk, and the other pasuk says, V'ketiv, Ubanim lo yamusu al avos. That the lo yamusu al avos, that the children will not perish, they will not be killed because of their fathers, whatever their fathers are. Wrong. So there's a contradiction between these two psukim. V'raminu, k'rai ahadadi. These two psukim are contradictory. U'mishanina, and then we give the following answer to these psukim. Lokasha, they're not contradictory. Ha, the pasuk that says that the children will be punished for the sin of their father, that is kesho ochazim b'maseh avosehem, that biadehem, where the children continue the evil, wicked path of their father.
But we said they're tzaddik.
No, one second. We're going to get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
We're talking about a situation, when will children be punished for the sins of their father? When they themselves continue to sin. So they'll be punished for their sins and even their father's sins. We'll get to the tzaddik in a second. Hold that thought. Aha, when is it that they will not be punished? They will not be punished when they are not continuing to do the averos, do the sins, and the way of life of the wicked way of life of their father. So, if that's the case, we have to we said before, why is it that a tzaddik, who is the son of a rasha, he's going to be ralo in this world? It's not because of the sin of his father, because we do not punish a tzaddik who does not continue in the way of his father with his father's sin. We don't punish him for it. So we're going to have to give a new explanation. Eli Hachikama, this is what he meant to say before. Tzaddik v'tovlo, when is it a tzaddik and Hashem does good from this world? That's a tzaddik gamur. A tzaddik through and through, 100% righteous. No sin whatsoever. Tzaddik v'ralo, when is it that we have a tzaddik and he has something that Hashem does tough things in this world? Hashem gives suffer; he suffers in different ways. That is the tzaddik she'eno gamor. That's when it's a tzaddik and he has some sin. So what does Hashem do? Hashem wants to give him only reward in the next world. So he does this. So this is a tzaddik. And he does a little bit of sin. So Hashem punishes him in this world so that these sins are taken off the table. He already cleansed him. He already received his punishment for the sin in this world. So when he comes to the Olam Haba, Hashem only gives him reward. Rasha v'tovlo, when do we have a rasha and how he has good done given to him in this world? That's a rasha she'eno gamor. That's an evil person who's not 100% wicked. He's wicked, and he does some nice things also. So Hashem rewards him in this world to already take his reward off the table. We're going to give him rewards for the nice things he does in this world, so when he comes to the world to come, he only will be punished. He will only receive punishment for the wicked things that he did, because Yuri was rewarded for the good things he did. When will we have a rasha v'ralo? When do we have a rasha and evil is done to him? That is Rasha Gamor. That's when it's a completely wicked individual. Rasha Gamor. So Hashem is going to just punish him completely in this world and in the next world. Okay. Upligidur of Meir. Now, this idea we said, that Hashem answered Moshe with three things, is against Rabbi Meir. The Amr of Meir, Shtayin Nasnulo. Two of the things Hashem granted Moshe, the Achas Lo not milo. And the third one, which we just said, that there was the ways of Hashem, he did not grant Moshe. Shenamar, the Chanosia Sesher Achon, that I'm going to, Hashem says to Moshe, I will give chen, right? I'm going to give forgiveness, right, to those who I will choose to forgive. Afopish ein hagun, even if you do, if it appears to our eyes that the person does not seem to, should receive the forgiveness, it doesn't seem to us logically why this person is going to be forgiven. Hashem says, I choose who I forgive. even if it doesn't seem proper. V'richamti asher rachem, and I'll give mercy to those who I choose to give mercy to, afal b'shein ha'gun, even if it doesn't seem to be fitting or proper that Hashem is giving such mercy to this individual. Hashem says, don't question my ways. I can't explain it to you. I cannot have you understand it. A human is not able to understand at all the ways of Hashem. Meaning, before we tried to give an explanation, that was one understanding. Now we're saying Hashem did not tell Moshe that there's a way to understand the ways of Hashem. It's simply beyond our comprehension. Okay, so it says, Vayomer lo tuchal liros es panai. You're not, Hashem said to Moshe, you cannot see my face. You're not able to see the front of my face. So we have the following. That's a pasuk. Moshe said, Hashem, I want to see your ways. And Hashem said, you cannot see my face. So Tana, Mishmei de Yeshua ben Karcha, Kach Amar le'Akash Baruch le'Moshe, Yeshua ben Karcha says, this is what Hashem was saying to Moshe. Kishiratisi, when I wanted to reveal my face to you, Lo Ratisa, you didn't want to. When was that? That was when, it says, when Hashem first revealed himself to Moshe was with a sneh. A sneh boer. So Moshe sees the sneh, he comes and he sees Hashem, and it says he was scared, he was yare, and he covered his face, and he looked away from Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not look at the burning sneh to see Hashem when Hashem wanted to reveal himself to Moshe. He didn't want to look at this sight, this awesome sight of Hashem. He didn't look. Achshav she'ata rotza, now, many years later, that you're interested in looking at my face, Eini rotza, I'm not interested in showing my face at this time. Upligi der Shmuel bar Nachmani, and this argued, this, the fact that Hashem is again, they said this is not like the opinion of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rav Yochanan, Amr Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr Rav Yochanan, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said name Rav Yochanan, Bischar Shlosha, with the merit of three things, Zacha l'shlosha. Okay. Now, just to get the pasuk, it says Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicha. Moshe is standing in front of the burning bush, and Hashem says to him, "I am the God of your fathers, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov." So Hashem announces himself as Moshe is standing in front of the burning bush, and it says Vayaster Moshe Panav. Moshe covers his face. Me Habit El Ha'Elokim. Kiareini. He was scared. And therefore, he was not looking at Hashem's face. Kiare, because he feared, mehabit el ha'elokim, to look at God. So that was by the burning bush. He was scared, covered his face, did not look at Hashem. For those three things, we're about to delineate the three things, he was rewarded. By Esther Moshe Panav, the fact that Moshe's face was hidden, zacha leklaster panim. He was able to have, he hid his face, so Hashem, Karan Panav, he had a light shining from his face. After Hashem received the Torah, Karan Panav, Hashem made his face light up. Ki Arei, when it says he himself was fearful of Hashem, Zacha Leviru Migeshus Elav. When Moshe's face lit up, it says that Aaron and the other elders, they were scared to come to Moshe because they saw the light coming from his face. They didn't want to come to him. They were scared. So his fear was put into other people. They were fearful of him. And then it says, "Bischar mehabit," where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to look and gaze upon Hashem. It says, "Zacha l'tzmunas Hashem yabit," that he was able to see the tzmuna of Hashem, again, some kind of vision of Hashem. Tzmunas Hashem yabit. Okay, it says, "V'hasirosi as kapai." When Moshe, he says, Hashem says to Moshe, "I'm going to pass in front of you. I'm going to cover your face. I'm going to cover so you can't see. As I'm passing in front, I'm in front of you, I'm going to cover your face with my hand." And then after you pass, Barisa Sachorai. But after I pass, I will remove my hand, and you will see the back of my head. Amr of Chana Barbiza, Amr of Shimon Bar Chasida, Milame Shehara Kosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesher Shel Tzilin. What did Moshe see at the back of Hashem's head? He saw the knot, the tie of the back of Hashem's tzilin. We know that we wear tzilin, and our tzilin says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokei Hashem Echad. And it says in Hashem's tzilin, we have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokei Hashem Echad. God is one. And Hashem says, B'nei Israel, the nation of Israel, is singular. There are only one nation like them in this world. That is what Hashem says. Correct. And now it also happens to be that this tie, you know, how the tradition, how to tie the knot at the back of the tefillin, is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. It is a tradition that comes back from Moshe Rabbeinu Mitzinai, because where do you get it from? When Hashem passed in front of Moshe, he saw the knot at the back of his head. That's where he knew the tradition to tie the knot. I don't know if the last name was a box or a dalada. Okay. Everything Hashem says is going to come out for good. A few last night, even if it was on condition. So the Chazerbo, he's not going to change his mind. So it says Manalan. How do we know this? Moshe Rabbeinu. We learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenamar, Herf Meini Vashmidim. Hashem says to Moshe, you know, go away. I want to destroy all Bnei Yisrael when they sinned by the Chetah Egel. And I'm going to make you Moshe instead of Bnei Yisrael. I'm going to make you the great nation with many, many with the multitude. That will be the Ba Moshe Achnei Allah. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Bnei Yisrael, so Allah milso batla, and he was able to go ahead and annul the decree of Hashem. Ukma bizare, Hashem applied what he promised to Moshe in his children. He promised his children would be, he said, Moshe, I'm going to make you a great nation. It did actually happen with Moshe's children. Shenemar, b'nei Menashe, Gershom, v'Eliezer, v'yu, b'nei Eliezer. It was, okay, the children of Moshe are Gershom and Eliezer, and the children of Eliezer, Rechavia, Harosh, Ubnei Rechavia, Rabu Lemala, and the children of Rechavia were great up to Rabu Lemala, were great and tremendous number. The Tanya of Yossi Lemala, what does it mean Lemala? They were greater than, and higher, they were great and higher, they were greater than Shishim Ribua, 600,000. Asya Ravi Ravia, there's a custom between, it says Ktivhacha Rabu Lemala, the Ktivhacha, and it says also by Ben Yisrael Baru, the Yisru, the Yerbu, and we know how large was Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim? 600,000. So the same number was the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, the children and grandchildren. Okay, we have another 2 minutes. Okay, so I get to the next two dots. So we're at the top of the next page. It says, Amar... Oh. Okay, here we go. Amar... Almost there. Just a matter of practicality. We don't want you to lose. So Amar of Yochai Mishum and Mishum and Ben Yochai. Yom Shabar Kosh Baruch Hu Olam. From the day that Hashem created the world, Lahaya Adam Shekarola Kosh Baruch Hu Adon. No one had called Hashem with the name of Adon. Okay, that name, Master. Ad Sheba Avraham. The Karo Adon Shenemar. Vayomer Ado. Right, Ado Shem. Ado Elokim. Bama Eda Ki Irashena. So Moshe has called not just God Elokim, but he called him Ado Shem Elokim. But how will I know Ki Irashen that I'm going to? Yeah, that's what he said. So that name, Adon, right, that's the name. So, Ki Rashana, that I'm going to inherit this land. So, Amarav, Af Daniel, even Daniel, right, the Daniel, also, Lo Na'ena Ela Bishul Avram, he was also davening in his merit of Avraham. Shenemar V'atah Shema Elokeinu El Tfilat Avadecha, V'el Tachanav, Hashem, please listen to the prayer of your servant. The El Tachnunav and Shir is teaching you. The Hayar Panav El Mikdashcha, and go ahead and please, you know, show your face, show your favor to your destroyed temple. Right, this is after Daniel, after the Beit Mikdash was destroyed. Hashem is asking Hashem to rebuild it. Hashamim, your temple which is destroyed. Lema'an Adoshem Adoni Lema'an Adoshem. It says Lema'an Adoshem, right? Hashem's name. You don't say Hashem's name, but Adoshem. So it should say Lema'ancha. Right, said here he called Hashem Elokim. So the end of the pasuk is said in your for your purpose, for your sake. So it should have said for your sake. So why does it say El Lema'an Adoshem? It says Lema'an Avram, for the sake of Avram, Shekarcha Adon, because Avram called you Adon.